Welcome to this month's Club Soda podcast with me, Laura Willoughby, co-founder of Club Soda, and...
Vinnie White. It is February 2020.
Hooray!
Hurrah! Are we all still alive? Are we all still in one piece?
Did you do dry January? How's it gone for you?
God, look at that. There's a badger out the window.
Hey. What's the badger about?
Just trying to do diversion tactics because I didn't...
You didn't do dry January?
No, but I did sober October.
Vinny.
I did not very boozy January.
Only one, doing a dry month only once a year, I'm not sure if that's done anymore. I think it's all trend to do at least two dry months a year.
Next year. This year, rather. Okay.
So you don't deserve a can of what I bought you from the festival.
What have you got?
I bought you some cloud water soda. You've got a choice. You've got mango and citrus sour, or you've got the spiced fruit chat. Cloudwater, which is a famous craft brewery, have brought out a soda using their brewing skills. Actually, the Spice Fruits Chat is the special that they've done for Bondabust, which is one of the really good venues on our guide. They did a collaboration and an event launching our book just last month.
Well, I'll crack this open and we'll get straight into the news because I want to ask you a few questions about the festival. First of all, bottoms up.
Oh, yes.
Club Soda News.
First of all, you would have obviously seen that we've had the festival. We had over 10,000 people come to the Truman Brewery. We had all sorts of free masterclasses, cocktail masterclasses, over 60 brands giving you samples. Liars, which is the new alcohol-free spirit available in Sainsbury's, did a full-serve cocktail bar. I cannot tell you, by the end of the first day, their head mixologist just stank of espresso martinis because he'd made so many. And then we had some amazing celebrities come and speak to us, like Charlie Brooks, who used to be on EastEnders, and we had the wonderful Chris Williamson, who was a Love Island contestant from Newcastle, and loads of other amazing panellists. It was absolutely packed to the rafters.
Was it? So generally speaking, how do you feel it went?
It's our best yet, and what we managed to do is still continue to create that atmosphere of a wide embracing community. So all of the stage events were run by other people who do stuff in this space. I put it out to pitch. So they were run by people like Sober Girl Society and Emily from Sober and Social and all sorts of other people. Right. Love Lucid, who you'll hear from a bit later in the show.
Before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, this was the Mindful Drinking Festival. And how many have you done now?
This was our seventh. I can't believe it's our seventh because I think you've been around since the beginning, Vinny, and that first one I did where I was panicking. So this is our seventh, but definitely one that not only brings all the drinks into one place for everyone to try, but also creates that sense of a mindful drinking community, which is really important for me.
Wicked.
And then it actually hasn't stopped this January. So a few weeks ago, I went and judged a mixologist competition for Binary Botanicals. Binary Botanicals is the wine lover's beer. It's a really interesting drink if you haven't tried it. And they were running a cocktail competition for mixologists in the southeast. And so I got to sit and watch loads of mixologists make drinks of their own concocting with Binary Botanicals as an ingredient. And then I got to judge the best one. And there were some really stunning cocktails, I have to say.
Is there anything you'd never had before?
A guy absolutely tapped into my inner geek by creating, bearing in mind binary is a very scientific word, he created something called the banana, which was based on a science term from the stars, of which I cannot remember, which I should have written down, and created his cocktail from that. So he had a bit of geeky science behind it. He also used banana in a way that didn't taste like a banana milkshake. It was like a wonderful textured long cocktail which had banana syrup at the base of it. Beautiful. Wow. Absolutely beautiful. And somebody actually got, one of the mixologists got me onto a Bloody Mary type drink, or a Virgin Mary in this case, for the first time. It's never been one of my favourite things, but he created it and lengthened it using Binary Botanical as a mixer, and actually created quite a nice light but tomatoey and slightly hot and spicy Virgin Mary. And so I may go back there in the future.
He made the botanicals as part of the mixer. What would normally be the spirit then? What was there?
Vodka's normally in a...
Did he use a non-alcoholic vodka?
So I think he might have used Seedlip Spice in that one. So it
had a nice bit of kick in it.
Had a little bit of kick, but it also didn't feel like you were... But I've always felt like with Virgin Mary's that you're drinking tomato soup.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, there's a fine line between a bad Virgin Mary and a gazpacho.
Yeah, yeah. So that was awesome. And he actually won the competition. Oh. And then I did a trade panel on Noah Lowe for Imbibe magazine, which is the trade magazine, and I sat with a load of experts in the industry to talk about where the future of Noah Lowe drinks are going. And I talk about these things because they're part of what we are as a wider movement. We don't just help people change their drinking, although that's a really important part of what we do. What we're trying to do is influence the industry to be less reliant on alcohol itself as well. And we're really keen in promoting Noah Lowe, as you will obviously hear in these shows, because we feel that it gives everybody permission to drink less and that it makes our social spaces more welcoming to everybody. And there's been a really important piece of news out this month. For years and years, pub visits have been declining and pubs have been closing. And this January, some research came out that showed actually pub visits are up for the first time. And that's because people are going for alcohol-free drinks and food and not relying on alcohol. So I sort of feel like, you know, we're beginning to reclaim our social spaces as spaces for everybody, and that's quite exciting.
Oh, that's amazing news.
And then finally, and I thought we'd pay a little snippet of this, I got to go on Claudia Winkleman to talk about the book on BBC Radio 2. How exciting is that? Two iconic haircuts in one space at one time.
Yes, if you've never seen Laura or the Winkmaster General, I'm sure we can put this on the blog, can't we?
Yes.
Yeah?
There'll be a picture. There's a selfie. Of course there's a selfie.
And here's some audio of your time with Claudia.
Lots of my friends have gone. I'm not doing full dry January because it just makes me sad, but I'm not drinking on Monday to Friday, for example. Is that useful or not really?
Yeah, definitely. Having rules around moderation are really important. So decide if you're only going to drink on a Friday or Saturday. Another really good tip I have is that you make your first two drinks alcohol-free. Pubs are brilliant these days. They've got lots of options. There's things like Heineken Zero on draft or an alcohol-free cider, or you could even have a kombucha. Loads of them have got kombucha in, so you can come out the pub healthier. But if you make your first two drinks alcohol-free, you can decide if this is an evening that you want to stay out and drink or whether you want to go home. Because often it's a very British thing, right? We stay at things we're not enjoying, and to stay at them, we drink, which is bonkers if you think about it, right?
But you're so clever. It's a bit like, I mean, I hope he wouldn't be grumpy, but Mickey Flanagan is like, you're going out or you're going out.
Yeah.
And it's almost, if you're just going out and you're seeing mates, have a fizzy water, go mad. But if you're going out, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And after everyone else is on two drinks, you can decide if this is a night you want to stay out or a night that you don't, or you'd rather go home and watch an episode of a box set and have those other things at home to look forward to as well. And so I think it's important that if you're moderating, you need to practice going out and not drinking so that you know that the sky won't fall in. And actually, there are ways that you can go out and not drink, and that way you'll be able to pick and choose a lot easier. Whereas if you've never tried that, then how do you know, and how are you ever going to be able to stop yourself drinking too much?
Of course.
Club Soda events.
As you know, we list other people's events as well as our own on joinclubsoda.com/events. So you'll see that at the start of February, there is the Art of Intuitive Photography on our website. And the Sober Comedy Club is coming back to Fugitive Motel on February the 9th as well. On the 15th of February is our one-day workshop with Stephanie Chivers on how to stop drinking and start living. I've got an interview with Stephanie a bit later on in this show, so have a listen to that. Then Blossoms is a new night in London. It's a weekly get-together called a topic exchange on a Monday evening for people changing their drinking every Monday in February and beyond. But there's an interview with Freddie, who set up Blossom, a little bit later in this show as well. And then a new sober organiser called Soberlicious has started putting their events up. They've got a supper club in Kingston, and they've also got a relaxation day in Essex. We've got our Liverpool social on February the 22nd at Bill's in Liverpool. And then you'll be able to see us at Live Well London, which is a big health event at the end of February, February the 28th and through to the 1st of Feb in Billingsgate Market in London. We'll be there with Camille, who did our cocktail masterclasses at the festival. She's doing some there as well. We'll be there with our stand. I've got a panel doing a talk about how to live and socialise sober. And it's a really great health and wellness event. So you can get tickets on our website.
Wicked.
That's it. That's a very busy February already.
Club Soda members may be familiar with Stephanie. If not, Stephanie is running workshops for Club Soda. What kind of workshops?
They're one-day workshops to help you re-evaluate where you are with alcohol. So even if you're new to change your drinking or you've been alcohol-free for a while, it's a really good workshop. But I spoke to Stephanie, who can tell you a little bit more.
Here it is.
So I'm here with Stephanie Chivers. Some of you will see that on our events listings, we're starting to put up workshops for Stephanie this year. We've got workshops in London, Manchester, Bristol and Exeter coming up. Not all the dates are up yet, but some are, and you can look out for the others. And I wanted to ask Stephanie a bit about the day and what it involves, and should everybody be really scared, or are you going to instantly cure everyone? Those are the questions that are on everybody's lips.
Brilliant. Well, no, I'm not going to cure everyone.
that's for everyone to do for themselves, right?
Yeah, totally. And no, I'm definitely not scary. We have a lot of fun on the day. So quite often people are scared when they come and do things like that. I mean, that's normal, isn't it? If you're going to do something for the first time, go somewhere that you've never been before, do something different, you're going to feel a little bit anxious, a little bit scared. But I do my best, and whoever's with me sort of assisting, to welcome people in and to get them relaxed as quickly as possible. My approach is very informal. I like to have a laugh. I like to have fun while I'm doing it. Yes, it is a very dry, serious subject. And when we did the London one, we did laugh a lot. So people relax very quickly. And actually, if you do really want to come and you are really worried about it, I would say reach out to me and we can have a chat so that I can put you at ease before you come. Should I tell you a little bit about what we do on the day?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's sort of stop drinking, start living, we do the stuff about alcohol for the first part of the day. So I talk about the facts and dispel as many myths as I can. And it also gives people the opportunity to ask questions. So I do some stuff around where alcohol sits in the context of other drugs, why it's so harmful, you know, the physical health stuff, the mental health stuff.
All the scary shit.
Yes. Well, it is all scary. There is nothing good about alcohol. But I have to get all the facts out and just like check that nobody's got any of these. Well, what about this or what about that? So we can just get really clear on, no, the antioxidants in red wine aren't good for you.
But the ones in chocolate are, right?
Don't get me tired. Don't ask me questions about food. We do the stuff about alcohol and the facts and get all those myths out the way. And we do quite a bit of stuff about habit, because there's a huge amount of stuff associated with habit with alcohol. We talk quite a bit about the essential ingredients, the things that I want people to be aware of, sort of like their first 3 months, maybe even longer. So we do talk about connection and community and internal dialogue and dealing with life. And that's pretty much it for the day. Sometimes we have lunch together, sometimes we don't.
Depending on where we are, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not me talking all day. It's very interactive, which I know some people are going to be like, oh my god, that's even more scary. But it's not. It works really well, so everybody gets to know each other.
Yeah, and actually the most, as I always say, the most important thing is actually talking to other people and realizing you're in the same situation and beginning to share ideas. You all have the answers together, and once people start talking, then all the workshops go really well because of that. So
yeah. Yeah.
And you have a group of people that you've come together with that you now feel accountable to. And that also helps when you go away at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah, it's really nice. I mean, quite often people, I mean, I've done one in Glasgow and Manchester before, and people meet each other and go for lunch, you know, like-minded people. So yeah, it's a sort of funny mix between training, workshop, coaching, and a bit of stand-up comedy, if you like really bad humour.
Yeah, excellent. So if people want to book, they can go to joinclubsoda.com/events. And if the dates, we've trailed the dates for some of them, but we're just firming up venues. But if the ones that you're expecting aren't up there yet, then do keep an eye out. They will be up everywhere and we will be sharing them. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The interview.
I promised you an interview with Freddie from Blossom. For those of you who are looking for a weekly meetup where you can just exchange thoughts and ideas and issues around change you're drinking with other people like you, then Freddie's created a really lovely event that's on weekly.
A lot of people get quite stressed at the idea of giving up booze because they think it's going to cut down on their social life. So it's really important to have meetups that are actually designed for those people. It is a social meetup as well as some coaching along the way.
Yeah, and this is a very particular, you know, there's lots of parties and cocktail nights and those sort of things happening. This is a space where you get to talk about your changing relationship. Emily from Sober and Social does some sharing circles as well, and they allow you to delve a little bit deeper and share some worries or thoughts or anxieties or issues around change you're drinking with other people face to face rather than just online. Here he tells you a little bit more.
Blossom is a modern support group for sober rebels. I was looking for something when I started Blossom to, I wanted to share stories and get inspiration, but I wanted something with a modern approach. I didn't want something that was with isms like alcoholism and recovery, negative concepts like that. So I founded Blossom, and Blossom is, yeah, we embrace alcohol-free living. We don't see ourselves as in recovery. Actually, recovery is, if you look at the definition for recovery, recovery is returning to a normal state of mind or health. We don't see ourselves as subnormal, which that definition implies. We see ourselves as, you know, having made a really positive lifestyle choice. And so we look at our journey as one of discovery. And it's a subtle difference, but it's an important one.
You have started a meeting every Monday in central London so people can come along. And what happens there?
So, yeah, we have a meeting, a regular meeting on Monday evenings at the Poetry Cafe, upstairs at the Poetry Cafe.
Which is in Covent Garden,
that's
right?
In Covent Garden, yeah, right in the middle of town. It runs from 7 till 8:30 p.m. And so this is what we call a topic exchange. So members can bring a topic along and basically introduce the topic, and then the topic gets thrown open to discussion, and members take it in turn to introduce their own topics. So this runs for an hour and a half, and then we go downstairs for cake and networking, and there's a wonderful cafe downstairs.
Well, you had me at cake there, Freddie. I have to say, I guess anyone who's changed their drinking habits, cake is up there at the front. I really love this idea that people can come along and have that regular meeting where they get to meet other people in a similar situation, but it doesn't have any major formality. It is about a discussion around circle, a sharing of stories and ideas.
Yeah. There's no dogma. There's no slogans. It's all about sharing and inspiring each other. And that's really important. We're not sitting around in a circle saying, that we're alcoholics in recovery and or anything like that. We're trying to inspire each other and share positive news. It's not all positive, of course, but we want to embrace the positive aspects of post-alcohol living, which there are many. It can be richly rewarding experience.
And also it means that people can come and say, well, actually, the thing I've been struggling this week with is maybe dealing with high emotions or dealing with persistent mates, and that can become the topic of conversation.
Exactly.
You get to crowdsource the answer.
Exactly. You might have just stopped drinking and you have a problem with your colleagues, you know, not feeling comfortable attending work functions with your colleagues having to refuse alcohol. So you might want to talk about that, or you might want to talk about something more abstract, like your inner critic, or you might want to talk about any aspect of post-alcohol living, maybe sober dating, for instance.
It's a hot topic.
Yeah.
It really is a hot topic. And then you're planning to do some other things as well, some bigger set pieces.
Yeah, so we're putting together what we call Limelight Talks. And these will run probably monthly, starting in February. And these will be speaker talks. So we'll have guest speakers coming along talking about different pioneering modern approaches to post-alcohol living. And we've got somebody from the University of Portsmouth coming for our initial talk, which will be at some point in February.
I love this concept, and I love that you're putting your heart and soul in it. What made you do this?
Frustration. I myself am a former drinker. I wanted to stop drinking, but I felt like I needed some face-to-face support. I love Club Soda, and it's a fantastic innovation. But I felt I needed a face-to-face support group, and I couldn't find one that met my criteria, which didn't seem to me to be too exotic. I just wanted, a modern approach and a group free from dogma and slogans. And I couldn't find one. So I thought, rather than be a victim of a system that wasn't working for me, I thought, let's set one up and see how it goes. So that was my motivation.
And for me, this is an exciting collaboration. You might not know, but by talking to me now, this has become a collaboration. But, you know, there's a limit to what Club Soda can do. And I'm very clear that we're not the answer for everybody. So the fact that you're adding something else into the mix and that you can add an event in that our members will really like is really exciting for me.
Yeah, well, I'm honoured to be part of that collaboration.
Cool. Well, we will be hearing more from you soon. And also we'll be putting up Freddie's events on our website, so both on our Facebook page and also on joinclubsoda.com/events.
Great. And we're on Twitter too. It's Blossom Rebels.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time.
Cheers.
That was Freddie from Blossom. If people are interested in meeting up and joining that Monday evening thing, how do they do that?
If you go to blossomrebels.club, you'll get all the information that you need.
Blossomrebels.club. Australia now, a rather big jump to the other side of our planet and to look at the movement going on there. Now, it's very hot during January, so they don't tend to do dry Jan. What's the Australian version of dry Jan?
Well, what they tend to do is Feb Fast. So last month you'd have heard me talk about a festival that's just happened there, which is the Healthy Hedonist Festival. And then there's lots of other organisations in Australia that are beginning to look around mindful drinking as well. So I thought to celebrate Feb Fast, or to help with Feb Fast, whichever way around you want to do it, I've done two interviews, one with a blogger called Soberhood and another with a social meetup called Untoxicated.
I'm here with Faye from Untoxicated in Australia. Faye, tell me about Untoxicated.
We're an alcohol-free social tribe, Laura, and what we do is we just organise regular social events for people to catch up just without the booze. One of the things when I got sober myself a couple of years ago, I was looking for things to do that didn't involve booze and I couldn't find anything. So I was thinking, well, I'm definitely not staying in on a Friday or Saturday night, so let's create something, and that's what I did.
Okay, and so you've got events on Meetup. Do you just sit in a pub looking miserable?
Yes, that's exactly no, that's exactly what we don't do. For me, when I was drinking, I had the perception that to be sober was boring, and that was something that I wanted to change when I stopped drinking. So we do a raft of different events. We do some pubs. We do quite a lot of meals. We do going to shows. We do bushwalks. We do kayaking. We even had a Christmas party recently where we did sober karaoke, which was hilarious. We do pretty much everything. You name it, we do it. So what we do, if you go to the website, which is www.untoxicated.com.au, that's kind of like the central point of truth, which leads you off to the various meetup groups. And we've got meetup groups at the moment in Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne. We host events weekly, fortnightly, or sometimes even a couple of times a week.
Excellent. And you also list them on the Club Soda website when you can. So that's great.
Yes, correct. We do, because I think there's a lot of Australians that are familiar with Club Soda that probably aren't familiar necessarily with Untoxicated.
And Faye, it's coming into Feb Fast in Australia, which is a bit like our Dry January. Give me a top tip for everybody for Feb Fast.
So one thing that really helped me was actually to approach sobriety with a sense of curiosity. So rather than thinking about all the things that you're missing out on, or you think you're missing out on, actually approach it with a sense of curiosity, like, okay, well, right, so this is a bit of a change to my usual evening routine, or this is a bit of a change to my social life, you know, going out to dinner without alcohol, for example, and just seeing how it makes you feel and just sort of almost detaching from yourself and observing. I found that a really useful technique. The other one that I would really massively say helped me was the play it forward. So thinking about, okay, well, say I do decide to have one drink it's probably not going to do it. I'm going to want another one and then another one. And, you know, so for me, thinking about where it was going to end up, that was also another helpful technique.
That was Faye from Untoxicated.
Staying down under to look at Febfast, who's next?
Elaine from Soberhood.
Tell me a bit about Soberhood, Elaine.
Hi, Laura. Yeah, I set up Soberhood nearly, maybe about 8 months ago now. And initially it was to keep myself accountable in my alcohol-free journey. But it's evolved into a blog where I share tips and things that helped me, as well as connecting with like-minded people, surrounding myself with people who are also alcohol-free, and more making a conscious choice not to drink alcohol and the knock-on positive effects that has on your life.
And I really love your blogs because you talk very strongly about how it's improved your parenting.
Definitely. You know, the reason I stopped drinking was because I have a 3-year-old son. I, at the time, didn't feel that I could be the parent, the mom, and just the person I wanted to be while I was drinking. You know, as a result of quitting the drink, I feel like I'm a much more present and calm parent. My son's behavior has improved massively. I'm just able to be there with him through, you know, the roller coaster of emotions that a toddler has. You know, just not being able to cope with all of that was too difficult when I was hungover.
As people go into Febfast and may take a month off drinking, what should people expect to feel after a month?
I think they will feel just definitely calmer, more space and more clarity around life, what they want maybe from life. Yeah, definitely feel better physically. Like when you stop drinking, it does have a domino effect to the rest of your life. You now have time and you want to kind of engage in sort of healthier self-care activities like your exercise or your reading or your meditation, whatever you do that makes you feel good. So you should feel pretty good by the end of the month.
And then what's your favorite alcohol-free drink?
I'm a bit obsessed at the moment with the Liars range, great alcohol-free spirits. I've got the amaretto one here where I make amaretto sours as a treat for myself. The alcohol-free ciders are quite good as well. So I'm actually celiac, so I can't drink the beers, but they smell exactly like alcoholic beers.
There are some gluten-free ones coming through, actually. So have a look out for Freedom, and some of the Big Drops are gluten-free. So if Big Drop comes your way, which I'm sure it will, then have a look out for them. Cool. Awesome. And so what's your good luck message to... And I shouldn't say good luck, because I don't think you need luck. I think people need to plan. So what's your top tip for them to get through Febfast?
Towards the end of January, start planning. Maybe the last week of January, you know, maybe what I did was I got rid of all the alcohol in my house. Doesn't mean you have to throw it out, but you can just put it away in the box and put it in the shed so you're not having any temptation. Stock up on your alcohol-free drinks. I also would recommend listening to any quit lit. So some really good books at the moment is your book, How to Be a Mindful Drinker. Yeah, This Naked Mind is another good one. The Unexpected Joy of Being Sober is another great one. Surround yourself with people who are doing the same as you. If you have some friends doing it, get on a group chat, maybe on WhatsApp. So you can support each other. There's also some great Facebook groups out there, like the Join Club Soda Facebook group, Soberistas, and the Unexpected Joy of Being Sober Facebook group. Planning is what you want to do. Maybe as well, you can download, there's loads of apps now. There's one I use called I Am Sober, which counts up your days, but it also counts up how much money and time you have saved from being alcohol free. So downloading that and then maybe deciding to treat yourself at the end of the month with the money that you saved, or you might decide that you feel so good you'll continue.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Elaine.
Awesome. Thank you, Laura.
For those that would like to know about low and no venues, that is venues that serve non-alcoholic drinks or low alcoholic drinks to make our palate happy, there's a guide. Where is that guide, Laura?
So if you go into clubsodaguide.com, you'll be able to see venues near you and also find and discover over 1,000 low and no alcohol drinks and where to buy them.
Are you constantly putting new places on as you discover them? How does it work?
Yeah, so we work with venues nationally to get them signed up, but we also take nominations. So if you've got a great venue near you or you run a great venue yourself, go on to clubsodaguide.com and tick venue if you're a venue, or scroll down and there's a nomination button if you've been to a great pub that you think should be on the guide. And basically, if you don't know, what we've done is created this awesome scoring system at the back end, which means that when venues sign up, they have to tag the drinks they've got behind the bar. We've weighted the low and no options to give them a score out of 5 for how good they are for mindful drinkers. Our aim is to encourage all venues to have a good enough range to score 5. So you can geolocate near you and find venues near you, or search by name or search for drink names in the search bar. But we've got a few additions to the guide this month that I thought would be worth talking about. First of all of the Young's pubs have gone up as a whole chain. So they've got venues all across London, South East, Bristol, Oxford. And I think we've put up a few hundred of their venues that they have across the country. And we've also put up Pizza Pilgrims. Hooray! I'm loving it when restaurants get on board, because they're actually much slower than pubs and bars to adapt. And so Pizza Pilgrims phoned us up and said, oh, well, you know, we'd love to go on the guide. How much does it cost? We're a bit short of money. Could we pay you in pizza? And we didn't tell them it wasn't, that it was actually free for them to sign up. We said, yes, we'd love lots of pizza in the office, please, and sign up to the guide. And so they're on the guide as well, and we'll be eating pizza forever.
Wicked. If you're interested in signing up, find the guide online at clubsodaguide.com.
And that leads me into showcasing one of the drinks that is on the guide. So we've got lots of them, but one of our favouritists, I shouldn't say that really, but one of our most loved brands is Caglieno, which is run by Ellie. Ellie came to us very early in Club Soda. She joined one of our pub crawls because she was looking at developing Caglieno. And now her drink, which she talked about as an idea over 3 years ago, is available in Sainsbury's and lots of pubs and bars across the UK. So I'm so proud of her. And I did a little interview with her at an event we were at a few weeks ago. I'm here with Ellie from Caglieno. Now, some of you won't have heard of Caglieno before, but Ellie's going to tell you what her drink is and why she developed it.
Hello, my name's Ellie. I'm the founder of Caglieno Drinks, and we are a tropical non-alcoholic spirit made using 12 different botanicals. We use ingredients like inkberry, pineapple, papaya. We also use citrus botanicals, so things like lemongrass, Sicilian lemon, and some spices like coriander and cardamom. So it's a balance. You can just simply drink it with tonic over ice, or you can put it in a cocktail if you're feeling crafty and inventive. And it's just a really super refreshing grown-up drink. And I created it, well, first and foremost, so I had something to drink, and then it turns out other people liked it too.
And in fact, Club Soda members in Bristol were some of the first to try it, because you gave us some testers for one of our lunches.
Yes, they were. I remember that. Gosh, that feels like ages ago
now. It does feel like ages ago. So tell me, where can people buy it, and what other things can they do with it? I always say it wrong. Caglieno.
So the way I do it is I break it down to Caglieno. It's the little tilde on the end that gets people.
Caglieno.
Yeah, that's it. You did it.
Caglieno. Now I have to remember that, which is
a
challenge.
Or you can do it how Becky in our marketing says, Caglieno.
That might work for me. Caglieno. Yeah. Okay, so where can people buy it, and what else can they do with it?
At the moment, you can buy it on our website. You can buy it on Amazon. If you know you're a next day delivery type person, lots of the dry drinker sites, so Wise Bartender, Dry Drinker, all stock us. And you can also buy us in your local Sainsbury's.
In Sainsbury's, awesome. And you can mix it in cocktails, is that right?
Yep, you can mix it in cocktails. We've actually launching 5 new cocktails designed by Megs Miller, who runs Fan Bar in London, and she's designed some beautiful cocktails for us, all very tropical. She spent a lot of time in Colombia, so she's brought together some really exciting ingredients. So excited to launch those and share them.
Thank you very much.
No worries.
Ellie from Caglieno, the alcohol-free spirit with a South American vibe. Laura,
Are you going on holiday this year, Vinny?
I'm going in a couple of weeks to Senegal, which, by the way, is a dry country.
I've actually spent a month in Senegal volunteering before. We should have a little chat about that afterwards.
Well, let's not let this podcast get in the way. What's it like?
I can tell you that even a dry country has an awful lot of palm wine.
Oh, of course.
And I highly recommend you don't drink it. It's really horrible.
I've tried palm wine in India. It nearly made me go blind.
Probably.
Apparently it's got some of the best beaches in the world, which I found out after I booked it. I was quite chuffed about that.
Well, I was in a very poor part of Senegal, so it was volunteering, so it's very different.
Okay, we're getting a bit niche, so you and I will have a chat after this podcast. I'm going to rack your brains on that one.
But the reason why I ask...
Yes.
Well, the reason why I ask, Vinny, is that a lot of people are worried about going on holiday because a lot of them tend to be very boozy, particularly actually if you're single and you decide that you want to go on a more package type holiday, and are worried that lots of the new people that you meet are all going to be going into the bar in the evening getting drunk. And so we spoke to Lauren from We Love Lucid. She's now running alcohol-free holidays, adventure holidays in the south of Spain, and so we talked to her about that. But it's also worth knowing that we're actually running a holiday with her for our Queers Without Beers community, so we're running an LGBT specific holiday. So have a listen to what Lauren says about her holidays.
First of all, I'm based in the south of Spain. I moved there in March to start these holidays. Basically, I quit drinking around 3 years ago. I was living in South Korea, and I pretty much partied the whole way through my 20s and realised it just wasn't conducive to the life I wanted to lead anymore. So, I decided to quit and I came back to Europe. I was thinking about what I wanted to do. And it all sort of culminated in creating these trips and We Love Lucid. So they're basically, I call them alcohol-free adventures. They're holidays where you come along with 7 other people and you have an alcohol-free experience in the south of Spain. There's lots of outdoor activities and cultural type activities too.
So you're living in a really beautiful and hot country and you want to share that with everybody else. Why Spain in particular? And why did you end up in Spain?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've always had quite a strong connection with Spain, especially Andalusia, the south of Spain. I was always interested in languages. I speak Spanish and I went there often on holiday. And I always knew I would end up there, to be honest. Yeah, so that's why I'm there. The weather is better. It's sunny most of the time. I'm surrounded by beautiful nature. But to be honest, what I want to do with We Love Lucid is take it international and do trips all around the world. So I'm starting off in Rhondda, which, don't get me wrong, is absolutely perfect. But I'd love to give people a bit of variety when it comes to these alcohol-free trips. You know, go to South America, Asia, Thailand, many places, and a little bit off the beaten track as well. So not somewhere where you might think about going to yourself. I've been lucky to do a lot of travelling in my time as well, and I've made a lot of connections. I speak a couple of other languages too. So it's all, yeah, really great for these types of trips.
And what sort of person would come on your trip and what can they expect when they come? Is it just sitting around talking about not drinking, or is it far more exciting than that?
Yeah, Laura, that's actually a really good question, because they're basically just holidays where people come along and meet other people who don't drink. They're, you know, we're not sitting around in a circle talking about our stories, and it's very sort of a light, sort of chilled out vibe. So it's for people who just want to meet other alcohol-free people. And that's really it. It's not any sort of rehabilitation or anything like that.
But you get to do lots of activities and all of that sort of stuff. So what sort of activities do you offer? What sort of trips have you got coming up?
Rhondda is absolutely amazing for outdoor activities, and it's something that I'm particularly interested in myself. So an example of those types of things would be we've got a sunset kayaking activity. There's a really, really nice lake close by Rhondda. So we go there at sunset. It's absolutely beautiful. Last year we did it full moon kayaking. We've got whitewater rafting. This year we've got some really cool things. For example, in autumn, it's the season of the stag mating season. We're going to head into the woods, really pitch dark at night, and listen to the stag mating call. It's a really, really unique experience. And there's also a big wooden log cabin in the woods as well. And after we listen to the stags, we're going to go there and have this gorgeous big homemade feast.
You could send the postcard home saying, oh, last night I went and heard some stag shagging. But I'm sure it's wonderful, but it sounds a bit odd.
I know it does. And it sounds like you're listening to them actually having sex, but it's just the call. It's basically two male stags having like a face-off from, it's so interesting. I did it last a couple of months ago. So one of them will be in one side of the woods and the other will be in the other side. And you hear them from miles away because they have this sort of rut thing that they do from their throat, and they gradually get closer and closer, and basically they can tell by the sound of the other one that, well, that's basically how they tell who's the strongest one, and either one will just sort of go off or whatever, and the strongest one goes off with the female. So I saw the Milky Way for the first time because there's zero light pollution. You're not allowed lights there actually, and it would scare them off. So we're sort of, you know, like team going into the woods, sort of holding on to each other so we don't get lost, and it's just really a really unique experience.
Is it a good holiday to go on to alone? And if you're a bit older and not maybe into the whitewater rafting but want to try some of the other things, is it all compulsory or?
Yeah, so not at all. Basically during the summer months when the weather's a bit hotter, a lot of the activities are sort of water-based, so you'll have more of these types of things, the rafting and the kayaking. But certainly in the spring and the autumn, for example, we've got an astronomy demo where we're going to head out into the, well, not into the mountains, slightly outside Rhondda, with a really nice guy from the Rhondda Astronomy Association. We're going to look through the telescope at the planets. For example, you know, you don't need, it's not really sort of big adventure, but it's absolutely amazing. I did it myself. I saw Saturn through the telescope. I could see the ring around Saturn. It was one of the most surreal experiences I've ever had. We've also got an olive oil tasting and a visit to the olive press, and that's during the season, November, December time, which is now actually, and we get to taste some really nice olive oils, organic olive oils, see how the olive oil's made. We've got some tile painting, Andalusian tile painting. We've got home cooking. So there's lots of other things there for people who are not particularly really, really active. I mean, Rhondda is a little bit hilly, I'm going to admit, but, you know, we're not running up the hills. And as long as you've got a general sort of level of fitness, it's totally fine. Start in May, start at the beginning of May or mid-May, and go right through to November. And each month I've basically coincided different activities depending on the season. Like I mentioned, in autumn time we've got the stag experience and we've got the olive oil. We've got also, actually I forgot to mention, an experience where we're going to find out about cork extraction. Andalusia is one of the biggest cork producers in the world, so we'll head into the forest, see how they take the cork off the trees, hear all about the lives of the people who take it off the trees. For example, if you can't stand the heat so much, you can go on in springtime and autumn. The weather is absolutely amazing at that time in the south of Spain. Or if you just love flat out sweltering heat, come in summer and do loads of activities around the water. And that's also really nice too, cooling off. You know, we did the canyoning. That was just amazing, especially, I'm not sure if everybody knows what canyoning is, but it's where you sort of walk up a river mouth, you abseil down waterfalls, a bit of bouldering, and the temperature down at the river is a lot cooler as well, and it's just perfect when you get out to get out of the sun. You know, the trips are designed for people to come on their own. The reason why I created these trips was to allow people to connect in an alcohol-free environment. Definitely when people quit drinking, or when people are considering quitting drinking, one of the biggest things that stop them is the thought of having a non-existent social life. I want to create experiences where people don't feel like that. People can meet others that don't drink. And so everyone that came on the trips last year, they came on their own. And definitely that's the whole idea behind it. And there's no sort of cheesy icebreakers. I did think about that. I thought, you know, should I do that sort of thing? And then I thought, no, I'll just let people meet and, you know, sort of happen all naturally. And it was fine. I think often people think, well, I'm a bit introverted. Can I go on a group trip? But, I mean, especially people that have quit drinking, often those people like myself started drinking for that reason in the first place. And then they spent all these years, you know, being this outgoing person when they're drunk. And then when they quit, they're like, oh, I'm actually more introverted than I thought. A lot of the people that came on our trips this year, you know, were also quite introverted. But everybody just got on and it all felt very natural and it wasn't awkward. And come on your own.
Do you eat together, and what's the accommodation like? Can I have a room to myself?
Teamed up with this really awesome hotel. It's the perfect hotel all around, actually, for what I'm doing. You know, it's not too fancy. But it's really nice, comfortable. Even if you go on TripAdvisor and look for yourself, it's got really, really good reviews. You get your own room, double room, air conditioning, ensuite, breakfast is included, staff are super friendly. And in Christmas, they're thinking about putting a pool on the roof. Food, yeah. So the breakfast's included. And for example, the stag experience I mentioned to you afterwards, we have a big dinner in the log cabin. So some of the activities include food, also the home cooking experience. After we cook, we're going to eat together, but generally breakfast and then a few other things, a few other meals. But eating out in Rhonda is actually really cheap, basically.
You need more.
Yeah, ice cream places too, dessert places.
Everyone knows that Spain's good for alcohol-free beer. What are the rest of the alcohol-free drinks like?
In the south of Spain where I live, the alcohol-free beer is quite a common thing. A lot of Spanish people will even opt for an alcohol-free beer just, you know, well, for no particular reason. But apart from that, you know, that's all I can really see there. They don't really have that many other, apart from alcohol-free beer, they don't have the variety that you'd find over here in the UK, for example. Maybe it'd be something interesting to try and introduce over there.
So I've got some real kombucha here. You've got my favourite one, which is the Smokehouse, mm-hmm. which I think is a little bit more cidery in my view.
Wow, that's amazing.
You might be able to find some kombucha in Spain, actually. It wouldn't be so unusual.
Yeah, sorry, you're right. Kombucha, there is kombucha. Although I made the mistake, I bought one there and I started to feel a fuzzy feeling in my body. And I thought, oh, I recognise that feeling. And there was a bit of alcohol in it. So I thought, I'm not going to drink that second bottle because, you know, it could turn into a regular thing.
So I'm going to open up the Calibri. So this is a new drink, which you probably won't be able to find in Spain. It's in the Holland and Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
But you can sweeten it yourself. So give that a go just on its own. And then you can add in some of the agave syrup.
Right, okay.
And decide if you want to sweeten it, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool. This is the cardamom and chili flavour, which I think smells amazing. Mm. I can really smell the cardamoms. How do you find the sweetness? Last time I did this, I squeezed it all over myself. So I've now learned how to use the cap from Calibri.
Right,
but I can put a little squirt of agave in, and you can, and if you've got a sweeter palate, you can make it even sweeter.
Yeah, I have a very sweet palate, but no, that's lovely. I really like the cardamom.
Yeah, maybe we need to get them to send you over stock for when your guests come.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. On my trips, I've got welcome drinks at the beginning, and there's a few places that I'd like to take people in Rhonda, but ideally I could get some really nice alcohol-free drinks over and we'd go somewhere on the roof of the hotel, for example,
make some cocktails, because wine vineyards actually do very good grape juice and very good verjuice, and a verjuice makes a great base to a more winey feeling cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of bars who used to make cocktails like that. And so while they might not be doing a de-alkalized wine, you might be able to use their verjuice, which will very much taste of the grape of the region, to do some cocktail-based things. So
that's really interesting, because Rhonda's actually really well known for its grapes and they make a lot of wine there. And I did think to myself, imagine if you were able to, you know, grow the grapes and use them to make something really delicious alcohol-free. A lot of people set up their own little vineyards, you know.
Yeah, and I suspect there might be a local kombucha maker and a nice fermentation workshop as well, and how to make your own kombucha.
That's a really good idea.
And how to stop it going into alcohol.
I know, that's the key, really. But no, there's loads of things you could do, you know, sort of just skimming the surface with what we've done. But yeah.
It sounds really exciting and it looks like you've got a great year ahead. Where do people go if they want to book a holiday?
You can head to the website at www.welovelucid.com.
And they can email you?
Yes, email at info@welovelucid.com. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. But yeah, on the website, you've got all the information about the trips. If you've got any other questions, feel free to get in touch. Yeah.
We can do that. Brilliant. Sure. Thank you so much for your time and thanks for enjoying
Thank
the drink
you.
With me.
Thank you. It's been, delicious.
That was Lauren from We Love Lucid.
And you can find her on welovelucid.com and you can find our Queers Without Beers holiday on joinclubsoda.com/events. So Vinnie, how are you enjoying your drink?
My drink, which is cloud water soda, mango and citra sour, is a million miles from boring. It's got a nice little go on it, actually. I like it.
I have to say, I'm on the spiced fruit chat, which has been made specifically for Bondibus. And I have to say, it's like an explosion of fruits in my mouth. But with that lovely, I guess, undertone of sort of hops underneath that means that it's not too sweet. It sort of brings that sweetness down. Is that the best way to describe it? Oh, my God, Anya.
My one, I reckon if you were to call this beer, I wouldn't object. Why do you think they called it cloud water soda?
Because
it's got alcohol connotation.
And of course, it's not brewed like a beer. Mm. Well, I'm going to have to get Anya on to talk about it. I'm going to say Anya's going to be very upset with the way we're talking about it, I suspect.
Yeah, we're rubbish, aren't we?
Anya works for
us. It's frizzly and nice.
Yeah, Anya works as our drinks writer, and she'll be going, no, Laura, this is not how you should be talking about this. They're really interesting sodas, and they're definitely designed for grown-ups. They're in a lovely can, just like a craft beer, and they went down a storm at the festival.
Well, that could lead us rather well on to this book, How to Be a Mindful Drinker. Now, I have a copy in my hand. We've talked about it a little bit before, but Anya, who you previously just mentioned, helped write this book, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. I now know why this is like, woo, this drink. It's got a bit of chilli in it.
Oh, I see. That
would
do it.
Oh, sorry. You were talking about our book, which is far more important than what I'm drinking.
No, I like the description, though. It's good. You haven't gone red, but you've got a bit of colour in the old drinks.
I know. It's all very exciting. So Anya has written the big section in the book on how to find a new favourite drink, which is a really important part of how to be a mindful drinker. And our book this month has been selling really well. We recommend that you get it. The audio book has got lots of extra content. So if you get the audio book, it's absolutely amazing. But I did a talk at Phlox Bookshop in Leytonstone. So I thought I would share a little snippet of that with you now.
Give you a little bit of a background into the journey of Club Soda. So I've lived in London since my early 20s and I've got a politics background. So I was a local authority councillor in Islington for 12 years, which meant that my whole career was completely fuelled by cheap white wine. So like many people, that takes its toll after a while. And I ended up in a job I wasn't enjoying. So I ended up working in a local government job for the whole of London, and it really destroyed my soul. And so my already quite heavy drinking habit, because I was definitely somebody who took advantage of the fact that there's amazing public transport in London. You don't ever have to drive anywhere. The clubs are open late. I knew the closing time of every pub near me. So my already quite good drinking habit escalated when I was in a job I didn't enjoy, which was really eroding my self-confidence. I could basically nip off for boozy lunches with people that I knew, because that was politics and networking, right? And so I began to get a bit worried about myself. And I wasn't a daily drinker. I drank every other day. But it did come to a point where I wasn't able to stop. I'd start drinking and then it basically became a bit like an extreme sport. I'd see how long I could carry on for and then see whether I could make it up and get into work the following day. Then full of regret and like, I'm never drinking again. And then that cycle would repeat itself. And so I got to a point where really I was boring myself. And I was really worried that if this went much further, I would do myself some serious damage. I do mention in the book that, you know, alcohol killed my dad at 56. He was never rolling in the gutter, drunk or anything like that, but his drinking was probably quite well hidden and we didn't quite know the extent of it. And I'm my father's daughter. I inherited two things from him, really, his drinking habits and his boobs. So, it had only one way to go, right? So I picked a date. I gave up with somebody else who I was in a relationship with at the time. I told my friends and I stopped drinking. And that was 7.5 years ago, and I'm absolutely amazed that I'm still not drinking. Who would have thought that? Because it amazes me to this day. But after I gave up, basically, I started to tell people that I've given up. And everybody started saying, well, how did you do it? Oh, I'd like to give up. Or I'm not sure I could give up. Or they'd go, but I really enjoy drinking. I go, that's okay. I'm not asking you to give up drinking. I'm just telling you that I'm not drinking. And so I felt there was something that was needed that felt a bit like Weight Watchers, but with booze, to help people do a self-guided journey aimed at everyone who doesn't identify as an alcoholic, because that is an identity, but identifies a bit more like in my category, which was, I'm going to use a very medical term now, a bit of a dickhead with booze. So hands up if you think you've been a bit of a dick with booze. Oh, we're in such good company. Really? There's half of the room? Don't believe you. So that's quite a lot of us, but most of us are probably quite capable of doing a self-guided journey to change our drinking. So that's where Club Soda started, and we've got about 50,000 members internationally. And for those of you who might not know, we run a big alcohol-free drinks festival in London, 18th and 19th of January in the Truman Brewery. Not a piss up in a brewery. So exciting. Things I never thought I would be saying when I started Club Soda. And so alcohol-free drinks have become a big part of what we do. But what we have learned a lot of over 5 years is how to help people change their drinking. And you'll see on the front of the book that we talk about cutting down, taking a break, or going alcohol free, or wait a minute, it rhymes, doesn't it? Cut down, stop for a bit, or quit. Because it's really not my job to tell you what to do. It's your lives and your journey, and it's up to you to decide where your relationship currently is with alcohol, not for me to tell you that the only way is to go alcohol free. And actually, many of the behaviour change techniques that we talk about work whether you're looking to moderate your drink or go alcohol free. They'll also work if you do find and replace with the word cake. But the behaviour change works in all sorts of different ways. So the book takes you through a journey in that and has got lots of advice from other members of Club Soda. So you'll see Yusuf's story in there and Butch's story, and do delve into the book.
That was hers truly, Laura, talking about the book. If you're interested, the book, How to Be a Mindful Drinker, is written by not just one person, not two, not three, how many?
The whole community.
Yeah.
Look, it says really on the front, is. The author on the front is the Club Soda community, and it's full of all those tips that Club Soda members gave us in writing this book.
So it's been really helpful. Now, a lot of people, like myself, are a little bit obsessed with the audio. You say there's an audio book that's arguably even more packed than the physical.
Well, the audio book is read by me and Drew, and Anya reads the drinks bits, and UC reads some of the case studies, and then all of the case studies themselves come into the studio to record their bits, and I have a conversation with each of them around their story. So you get extra content if you get the audio book. Apparently, I sound very posh in it. It's because I was trying to read words.
Were you?
So that you could understand them.
How do I get my ears around that then?
Okay, well, you can get it on Audible, and you can get the book on Amazon, but there are other booksellers available, and actually there's a book tab on joinclubsoda.com, which has got all of the links to where you can buy it in Australia, America, Canada, UK, because there's different links for all of them.
You have been listening to the February edition of the Club Soda Community Podcast with Laura and I. Laura, well done on that festival.
Thank you very much. And just a reminder to everybody that we take content for this podcast. So if you want to record something, send it in, please do.
This podcast will be back in March in the same place you found this. And in case you didn't know, you can now find it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. This was mixed and produced in the UK by We Make Podcasts. For more information, go to wemakepodcasts.uk.